Welcome back to the show. There's no telling where we'll go. So come and share a laugh on the Imp and Skiz podcast.
And now part two of TwitchCon, homie.
We called it and we left. And I think, did we go? No.
So this is where things got weird.
We were so tired.
This is where things got weird. And this is where anybody that's been to Vegas may know exactly what we're talking about. But we left at midnight. Like literally, that was like almost like a bedtime that we had set as we were sitting there. And Jem was exhausted. Yeah. Like she's literally.
Well, her travel was much different. Yeah,
Jem was, she was still on Newfoundland time.
Yeah.
Like basically, she'd woken up at like 3 a.m. that day because her clock was so messed up, right? In her head.
Yeah.
And so we're sitting there and it's like 11:30 and she's like, I'm dying. Like I'm dead. Can we go soon? And I'm looking around. I'm like, okay. It looks like people were about halfway through their drinks. I was like, let's just make sure they don't get another round and then we'll try to call it. And that's exactly what happened. Everybody finished their last drink and we went.
Everybody was ready
to go. And we were just like on the way back, we were just like dead, you know, on that ride back in the Uber and whatnot. And we're just like thinking we're just going to go back up and go to bed. And then we walk into the hotel casino and there's flashing lights and sounds and everybody's having a good time and we're in Vegas, baby. And next thing you know, not tired anymore. Like second wind was a real thing. Like it was like wind. It was like I was never tired.
Yeah.
And so Tango, you know, he likes to gamble a bit. He likes to play craps. He's really good at craps. That's his game.
Yeah.
That he's got it figured out. And Tango's like, well, if you guys got it in you, shall we find a craps table? And we did. That was the night we played some craps. Like we stayed up quite a while. Tango had to remind us how to play craps. I'd forgotten completely.
Yeah, me for the most part too. Like, you know, you always understand the fundamentals of it. And his style is similar to mine, but my style I think is a little bit worse. After learning his, I'm like,
he does the Tango thing where he's like got it all like figured out from like an algorithmic standpoint and understanding like the odds and stuff. He knows exactly do this then. And it's like very calculated.
It's not even complicated, but it's not complicated to learn from him because it's a pretty simplistic approach. Right. It's just very solid.
Yeah.
And we don't do any of the side bets and the hard crazy stuff.
We were just playing it safe. And I basically just was his shadow. If he put a bet down, I put a bet down. Exactly same, you know.
I did the same thing.
But it was fun. Like we actually did all right that night, if I remember right. It was a late one.
Well, it was super late. Well, what's crazy is it was hard to kind of pull the trigger on it because last time I played craps, I could play for $5, $10 chips or whatever. And even when you do $5, $10, you could blink. You got $50, $60 out there. The lowest denomination on this table was $25.
$25 was starting.
Yeah, that was the lowest you were allowed to do. Yeah. And I'm like, what? So you do $25 on the pass line and then they would roll and then the button would come out and you'd back it up with another $25 or $50. So now you have $50 to $75 and then you put $25 on the come bet. Now you're like $100 to $125. What happened? I blinked. I got $200 in here. Like it just happened so fast.
And then they roll seven and it's goodbye. And then
you lose it. I just lost $200. It's been 90 seconds. But that's the game. And so we were having a great time. Yeah. And I actually was able to have a decent roll. Like this is going to sound crazy, but I rolled for about 3 straight minutes, which that's actually a very long time to roll. And I made a lot of like people a good amount of money. I don't do that. I'm a terrible roller. Mm-hmm. And I proved that the rest of the trip. Every roll after
that.
You had your one
to kind of tease you and get you to come back. Yeah.
It's awful.
And those weighted die.
It was terrible.
Those weighted die, the person up above watching. Yeah. Like, I can tell this guy needs a good one. Let's go ahead and activate the...
It was terrible, man. But
no, we really did... we stayed up late. I think we stayed up till like 3 a.m. because we didn't get back till 12:30, almost 1 o'clock.
Well, then what's even worse is Tango and I just decided to chum it up. And we don't have hair, but if we did, we would have been doing each other's hair. We just talked for like another couple
after
hours.
After that?
Yeah. And we were supposed to have brunch.
This makes more sense now. Yeah.
Yeah. We were supposed to have brunch, if you remember, the next day, but that kind of fell through. And it turned out to be a good thing because like as we were about to fall asleep, he's like, hey, Skiz. And it, like we're totally dead to the world. He's all, if we were doing a brunch, we have to be there in like 4 hours. I'm really glad.
Yeah, initially we were going to go to brunch with Paradox, but... the guy that had set it up, he had hurt his back and he couldn't make it. So I was like, you know, it was such a late night. I was like, I think let's just let us sleep in and not stress about that.
Yeah.
But, I'm also like very bad at sleeping in. Basically, if the sun is up, I'm up. I just can't help it. That's why my body works.
That was the one spot Tango and I differed. I'm the same way as you, so I want the sun to come in. But we had those blackout curtains. Yeah, blackout you have curtains. No idea what time it is.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I just didn't block off the sun enough, or just my my circadian rhythm just was in a full force. But even though we went to bed at like 3:30, whatever time it was, I was still wide awake at like 6:30, 7 a.m. So I literally got like 3 hours of sleep. And so I get up and I'm like, whoa, 3 hours of sleep. This is going to be a rough day. But really, I only had one like real commitment that I needed to be like awake for, which was the Minecraft meetup that was scheduled at 3 p.m. that day on Saturday. I was like, okay, if I have to Red Bull it up or something to get through that, I'll be fine. But also my voice was still wrecked and I was like, uh-oh. But I'm up and I'm like, on the computer. I was like, maybe scheduling. I think I was like trying to get the VOD from MCC published so people that missed it could see it. So I'm up doing that. And I noticed on Discord that Jem's little light is on Discord. Like she's online. And I'm like, are you awake? It's like 7 in the morning. She's like, yes, stupid Newfoundland time, you know? and I was like, how long you been up? She's like, a couple hours. And I'm like, okay. She's like, what are you guys doing today? Yeah. I was like, well, nothing until 3.
But keep in mind, she's in a completely different hotel.
She's in a completely different hotel.
Kind of far away from
this too. And so like, I was like, all right, well, let me get ready. And so I took a shower and stuff and got done scheduling videos and doing all that stuff. And I come back and I could tell she's like, I'm bored. Like she's been sitting in her hotel wide awake for like 4 hours at this point with nothing to do really. And so I text you and Tango, hey, you guys awake? Thinking, hey, if you're awake, maybe we could go grab Jem and get some breakfast or whatever. I got no response. Now it's getting close to like 10 a.m. And I was like, yeah, they may sleep a little bit longer. So I told Jem, I'm like, I'll just come grab you and we'll go get breakfast together and go to the convention. Mm-hmm. And so I jumped on the monorail by myself. Little did I know that, and I should have known this because somebody actually did warn me, we went to Vegas on the weekend that the When We Were Young concert series was in town, which was like some of my favorite bands ever, by the way. Blink 182, Sum 41, the list goes on. There was so many good bands. Like, I would have loved to go to this concert. But because of that, there was a ton of people in town. And they were getting on the monorail at the exact same time I was. So I get on the monorail by myself, 10 in the morning, heading to Jem's hotel to go grab her so we can go to the convention. And it's absolutely packed. I get on, and we were luckily the first stop on our hotel because we're so far south on the strip. And when I got on, it wasn't so bad. But the next stop, flood of people. Mm-hmm. And they're all in their concert shirts. Wu-Tang, I think, was one of them. And Blink 182, like I said. And next thing you know, I'm packed in like a sardine. Like I'm literally back pushed up against the wall of the monorail like cart.
And
there's a guy standing in front of me with a bottle of tequila, slamming it, passing it around. And I'm just waiting for this guy to like go to take a swig of this tequila and the monorail to like hit a little bump and him to dump tequila on me as I'm about to go to TwitchCon for the day. And have to meet a bunch of people at the meetup smelling like tequilas was going on in my mind. But it was, they were having a good time and luckily that didn't happen. Yeah. But I was very happy when I was able to get off that monorail because, I told Jem, I was like, getting off the monorail right now to come to your hotel. It was pretty wild.
Yeah. Well, you know that, and I think I'd woken up 20 minutes after you had texted me. And then I popped into the shower and I think that's when you texted again and I just, I missed it cause I was in the shower or whatever. And I came out and then Tango started to wake up and it was like, I looked, it was like 10:42 or something. I'm like, I don't remember what decade it was last time I slept past 9. You know what I mean? I'm like, cause I'm like you, I'm actually like an early riser, which is, it doesn't work for my health because I also am a night owl and an early riser. That's no good. But I was like, let's get moving here. And so we went and got a bite with Joker. And then we went to go to the monorail. That line you're talking about? You have no idea.
I was lucky, apparently.
To get on the monorail, to get on it at our stop, which like you said was the first one, was like an hour wait to get on the monorail. And I'm like, this is the most insane thing ever. So we decided to meet up with Cub Fan and we were going to make a decision, probably do an Uber. So I gave my wife a call just to catch up with her, and it was awesome. I got to talk with her for like 30 minutes as they just decided on plans and everything. But then we, you know, we took the Uber and we went to the convention, and that's when we met up with you guys. And we also got to spend some time with two beautiful people, Evan and Caitlin.
Evan and Caitlin,
and that was another thing that almost didn't happen because Evan tweaked his back. Now, here's the thing. I talked about being tall. I'm tall. Smajor's tall. Evan is like inches taller than me. He's a tall dude.
Like 6'5", I think.
Yeah, he's up there. And I'm 6'2", right? So yeah, he's 6'5". There you go. Well, we had that. You remember we had them on the show and we were looking forward to meeting them. So him and I were hitting each other back and forth on Discord like a lot, like to get our plans together. I actually ended up seeing them at MCC. They came in about halfway through.
Yeah, you already met them. I was jealous when you told me that you ran into them the day before. And I was like, man.
Well, first of all,
I thought they still weren't coming when you told me that. You're like, oh, I ran into Evan and Caitlin. I was like, wait a minute. I thought they weren't coming because he hurt his back.
Right. They came a day late, which was just really impressive. And to the point to where, like, he was like, I really want to meet you guys. I'm like, we want to meet you, dude. But, like, I know what it is to have a back problem. There's always tomorrow. Like, don't hurt yourself. But he came and he was kind of walking a little gingerly or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he was fine and they were both just awesome. But at MCC, I met them for like a fraction of a second. Yeah. Like we met and hugged and took a picture and left or whatever. I don't know. We didn't even take a picture. We just hugged and we went on our way. But the second day, what we're talking about is when we actually got to spend some proper time.
Yeah, we were up in the Twitch Partner Lounge and me and Jem were up there already since we got there early. I actually got my breakfast in the partner lounge.
They
had like bagels and yogurt and stuff. So, like, we were just sitting there, just chilling, just, you know, because ready to get our day going. And next thing you know, Evan and Caitlin walk in, and they join us, and then more people join us. And all of a sudden, we got, like, we're starting to build this, like, big table of people in the partner lounge. And we were having such a good time. Like, it would have been nice to go walk the floor and see all that. But, like, just being able to hang out with friends in the partner lounge and have our own little getaway space was super cool. So we just literally just chilled there most of the day.
Yes. And I introduced, so Tango didn't know who Kevin and Evan and Caitlin are. and I said, Tango, I want you to introduce. So I introduced them. And the next thing you know, dude, Tango and Evan, besties. Like, that's like they were just like, they really like, they had a lot in common. Yeah. So much in common. And it was a lot of fun to watch that happen. You know, that was interesting. So, I started doing my thing at that partner lounge. By the way, I really liked the partner lounge. There's something wrong with me. I was like, I could just stay here all day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just so cool. It was such a cool vibe. It was just like such a cool vibe of people. And, I am standing next to Cub and I realize I don't know a lot about Cub. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I met him once at MineCon a billion years ago and I've rated him and he's rated me and I have respect for him and he seems to have respect for me. I don't know him very well. And now I want to get to know him. And I said to Cub, I got to tell you, dude, I am so glad that I got to spend this time with Cub because he is very interesting to me. I said to Cub, I said, so tell me about yourself, Cub. He goes, what do you want to know? It was so funny. It's like that was the perfect response. Like I'm not going to just tell you everything about myself.
So
like,
I was born on blah, blah, exactly, blah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you want to know? And I said, tell me about you as a kid and how you led to this. And I'm just curious. And he's like, well, I was actually huge into sports. Basketball was his game and he was good. And it's not shocking because we'll talk about golf later, but we started learning. Then he talks about how he graduated with physics and astronomy. Like he got his degree in physics and astronomy. And him and I had this really good moment because it was just like this casual conversation. And we started talking about just the how massive like the universe and it's just like how insignificant we are. Mm-hmm. I told him, I said, I really like it when, you know, we're insignificant and I like being reminded of that, we are nothing but a speck and whatever. We had that fun conversation. And I said, but you know, the thing is, Cub, I said, we might be super insignificant and the universe might be bigger than we can ever possibly imagine. I said, we thought we knew how big it was. I said, and then telescopes have, I mean, very recently, the new one that's out in there is we've seen further than we ever have before. And the next thing you know, it's way bigger. And I said, but the thing is though, it's gotten so big now that it's irrelevant. And I said, and the fact that he goes, I agree. And I said, and the fact that we can communicate and talk and have this energy that we're having right now, to me, that's bigger than the actual physical dimensions of the universe. He goes, yes. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. And he puts his arm out. He gives me the suck. He's like, yeah. And it was like this good moment because he was just like, it made me feel good because I was like, it was a good connection point because I think it was like, it wasn't him trying to convince me of this disposition. It was me validating it by bringing it up first, like the Scott Major hug thing. Right. Yeah. So it was a good moment, dude. And I was like, I'm going to enjoy this. And there's more to cover there too with golf and everything.
Yeah. So we knew there was an event going on later that night. So we had a couple things ahead of us as we're sitting in the partner lounge. There's a 3 o'clock. Meet and greet, Minecraft meet and greet is for the Minecraft community. And basically we were just going to crash it because we weren't able to like actually get a legit meet and greet scheduled with Twitch just because we kind of blew it. We asked too late.
They would have done it. It was just everything was all sentenced.
Yeah, it was already done and we came in too late asking for it. So we're like, well, we'll just crash the Minecraft meet and greet and there'll probably be some people there that know us, you know, because it's Minecraft. So that was coming up at 3 o'clock. But after that, we had a reservation at, I think it was Texas Day Brazil. It's like a steakhouse. And this was all done because our friends at Glimpse.
Yeah. Right?
So Glimpse, if you don't know, it's kind of like almost like Patreon, if you ever heard of that. It's a way for people to show support to their favorite creators that are on the platform and basically, you know, sponsor them monetarily. And then you get something in return. Like, for instance, for our podcast, we have the Imp and Skiz on Glimpse campaign where we offer viewers of our podcast to catch us before we hit the record button to make this podcast.
We call it the 3PGS.
Yeah, 3PGS. It's the pre podcast private Glimpse stream. That's what it is. Well, jeez. Done. Wow. Yeah, it's a mouthful, right? So so you know, about an hour before we actually hit record, we are actually live with our people on Glimpse. And kind of telling them what we're going to talk about that day and just kind of just setting up all the cameras and the gear and stuff. And it's a really cool experience. And that's like the reward, if you will, for supporting us on Glimpse. We also both have our own personal Glimpse support accounts to support us individually. Mm-hmm. And each has their own individual rewards as well there. Anyway, the folks that run Glimpse, one of which founder is named Paulo, lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
And so Paulo was like, you know, if you're coming to Vegas, I could show you guys a good time, you know, and very gracious enough to, I mean, he has his own party bus, which was insane.
Yeah, that was cool.
I had no idea. I thought he was just like renting one, which I also thought was very generous of him, but he actually owns his own party bus. And he's like, you know, I'll pick you guys up from the convention at 5 o'clock. We'll go out to dinner together. And after that, maybe go hit some Top Golf because that's a fun thing to do in Vegas. And it was like literally right next to our hotel as well. And it'll be a good time. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, how many people can come? And he's like, well, my bus can fit this many. And I was like, okay, our group is about this size, but sounds like he's got a few extra spots in case we meet up with anyone. So we're sitting there in the partner lounge, and I know that we got a couple extra seats on the bus and at the dinner table, you know. And Evan and Caitlin are sitting there, and we're getting to know them a little bit more. And so, what are you guys doing tonight? And they're like, well, we don't really have any plans, you know, because they didn't expect to even be there at one point, right? We don't have any plans. I was like, so, what do you guys think of meat?
Yeah.
Because, you know, obviously this Brazilian meat house, whatever, is just plates of meat, basically. And they're like, and Caitlin, you can see it on her face. She's like, I'm down. Yeah. I like those kind of places. And so they joined us. Yeah. Like, we had spots on the bus for them, spots at the table, and even Top Golf. And they were able to join us for the night. But anyway, so that's when I was able to invite them. And then we went to the meetup. And I was nervous about the meetup for a couple of reasons. One, my voice at this point was pretty much completely gone. My voice was just completely trashed. And it's kind of embarrassing when you're at an event where you want to talk to everybody, you want to get to know everybody, and you can't talk because your voice is like really, really trashed. And so that sucked. You know, I wish it hadn't happened, but it did. Nothing I can do about it. Anyway, I was really nervous we're going to walk into this meetup and it was just going to be pure chaos because didn't feel like, I mean, we were crashing it. So it didn't feel like there was going to be any organization. You know, we weren't going to have our own little tables and designated lines.
We had
for
no
people.
Idea what to expect.
Yeah. And we just thought, okay, there's a bunch of cool people that like Minecraft going to be hanging out in this room. We'll show up and, oh, you know, maybe they'll want some autographs and stuff. We walk in the room and the room erupts in applause, cheering. And I was so taken aback by it that I literally turned around to see who they were cheering for. I'm like,
yeah,
who's behind me? They're looking towards me, but they're not looking at me. There's no way this applause is for like us. And I turned around and it was us. They were they were there for us. Yeah. You know, we had sent out tweets and stuff, letting them know we were coming to this, and there was a gathering. And I was like, okay, great. Now what? You know? And something just very natural happened. So we show up, you know, and there was like, what, seven of us or so? You know, it was Scar, Cub, Jem, me, you, Tango, like the crew, right? And so we walk in together, and they're all just in the room already, just a gaggle of people. And like we fan out, kind of like, but kind of like near the wall.
Yeah.
And we fan out all, how many of us? Six, seven of us? We fan out. And the next thing you know, the crowd just formed their own lines. Yeah,
it was amazing.
Just magically.
It was like a swarm, like it an organized
crazy.
Swarm.
Crazy.
Yeah. I actually, and at one point, I did the same thing you did where I was like, that's not for us. And then when I realized it was, I'm like, well, it's not for me. It's not like this false humility. I'm like, the hermits are huge. You know what I mean? I'm like, but then I was like, I guess it is because I've got two lines. And I'm like, and now I'm like going back and forth. And it just sort of organically became one line that went back to the wall and it stayed that length for 40 straight minutes, which was like, I was going through the people, but it just kept like people kept filling in and it was the same thing. I love the Phasmo streams. I love the podcast.
There was a lot of Phasmo, a lot of podcasts, which was obviously amazing to hear.
Yeah.
But it was just mind blowing that like, I'm almost thinking like, I wish I had like kept tick marks of Phasmo podcast and then like your Hermitcraft, Minecraft stuff. Because I almost think the Phasmo / podcast stuff got way more accolades than the rest, which I'm totally fine with, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you got to stay dynamic.
It was just crazy because we're at the Minecraft meetup.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And there was just like and I'm so upset with myself I didn't bring it, but like they, you know, bringing us stuff and somebody brought me a shirt that says Nooch on it.
Yeah, and I got one, plot armor, because everybody knows I have plot armor in Phasmo. Yeah. It was such amazing people.
It was crazy, and I was so honored, and it was great to watch. I mean, Joker was signing autographs as well. People knew who he was, and it was really fun to watch. I don't know if Scar had a swarm sticker, but he should have. Like he was signing autographs while still in motion.
Yeah,
like people just following along because I mean he's such a huge deal. But I'm watching you interact. I'm watching Jem interact. I'm watching Tango and Scar and Cub, and I'm just having the greatest time. And I'm so joyful right now that because here's what people don't understand. What we do is a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work, but it's also one other thing that you would never think when there's thousands of people watching you. It's extremely lonely. It's very isolating. I don't ever get to hear their laughter. Mm-hmm. I get to see them react to it, but it's very quiet in my office, right? Mm-hmm. So that dynamic is not there. And at one point it was kind of, because I've always had this like little thing about me. I've always kind of wanted to be a stand-up comic. I just never had the stones to pull any triggers. And I had one little moment to where somebody's like, "Hey, Skids," like I was signing autographs, and they said, I had made the joke, I believe, the night before or whatever. They said, "Did you see that there was a speaker or some sort of part of the convention? What's it called when like a little part of a convention has something like somebody speaking about a topic? What is that called?" It's like a conference or something. I'm spacing.
I keep wanting to say seminar, but that's not it.
Me too, but that's not
too,
it. Yeah,
that's too businessy.
They had a whatever. Anyways, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Session
to good that enough. Effect. But there was a session about a old streamer, like being like, when is it too old to be a streamer? I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'd be allowed on that. They're like,
panel.
No.
The word's panel.
Panel, the panel. Thank you. Thank you. Because like that was
I didn't hear the last 10 words you said.
That's
too
I'll
busy.
Start over. Yeah.
Wheeling that one.
No. Woo. Panel. I needed that. There was a panel.
That was just enough time to feed the comment section on YouTube with the actual word. Thank you.
We did that on purpose. But they were like, "Did you see that there was a panel about, you know, are you ever too old to be a streamer?" And I said, "Yeah, I don't think I'd be allowed in that one, you know." And they're like, "No, you would have liked it." And so I said, "I'm pretty sure the guy speaking would have been like, 'You can never be too old to be a streamer.'" And then I would walk in and he'd be like, "Okay, that's too old." You know, and they just erupted with laughter. And it was like streaming, but it was real.
Yeah.
It was there, you know. And I remember being like, I'm gonna enjoy every minute of this, man. Yeah. And everybody was just so lovely. And I, you know, signing autographs is a very humbling experience to me. Like the fact that somebody Absolutely. Wants this from me is very special. And I remember being like, I hope I get big enough to where one day I've signed 10,000 and it feels just as good. And I so far I'm on track because I was able to sign enough to where I was like, at this point, this should be a lot. But it was a lot, but I still was just enjoying it the whole time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I remember thinking like I'm getting tired, I'm getting a little exhausted or whatever, but I'm as happy now as I was on the first one. It was amazing. Yeah.
And this was the day I was on 3 hours of sleep.
Yep.
And no voice.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it was I was awake. Like just the energy in the room is enough to just bring you up. You know, dude. So I was absolutely fine. And gosh, it's so amazing. Like people had the nicest things to say that like I was literally fighting back tears half the time because people were just saying such amazing things that like I don't take for granted. You know, like it really hits home when you get a chance to put a face to the names. Like I kind of do this analogy that when we're streaming, it's like it's a one-sided mirror.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? Like what we see is ourselves. We don't see who's on the other side of it, but yet they see us.
Yep.
Right. So they're very aware of who we are, what we look like, what we sound like, our delivery, and everything like that. And all we see is a name and text. Right.
Yep.
And even that's sometimes hard to get a feel for somebody. Mm-hmm. And so being able to like meet people in person, you know, like to be able to like, it was always awkward because everybody has their Twitch badge and it's hanging down by their stomach or whatever. And it's always awkward to like meet somebody and then look to see, do I recognize your name from chat or whatever? But you know, I had that experience, you know, like somebody came up to me and I could just see it on their face. They like, it was a little more than just I lurk in your streams and watch some of your content. I was like, this person, they're giving me a vibe like we've actually had like private conversations on Discord. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I looked down and it's Opal Whisker, who is amazing part of my ISV community. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Opal has helped design some of the things that I've done on Hermacraft. Mm. She's an amazing builder. And so she didn't want to say anything. She didn't want to make a scene. And she was trying to like run one by me like I wasn't going to notice. I looked down. I'm like, what are you doing here? You know?
Yeah. Opal Albiami, who's always first in our 3PGS stream. Oz was there. And it was just like, I get to put faces to these names. And I was actually, I'll be honest with you, I was worried I wasn't going to even remember some people's names. You know what I mean? Like you see the same name over and over, it's going to eventually stick. But sometimes, all of them, I was like, Albiami, Opal, Oz. Like I was like, your faces, you have faces.
Yeah, you have faces.
I didn't know you had faces.
You're real people.
Yeah,
I know. You're not AI. I just assumed everybody on the Twitch chat was AI.
Yeah.
No, it's just really cool. It kind of like breathes some life back into you know, what we do, you
makes
know,
it
like,
again.
It's just a reminder that there's more to it than just sitting in front of a computer and making content. Like we're actually, you know, affecting lives and you know, imprinting on people.
Foreshadowing.
Remember that word. But yeah, super good time. And
remember that word.
And it, that one, we did get kicked out of the room because they actually had another meet and greet, right after. And so, you know, the lines were getting really close. I was really close to getting through my line and then they were kicking us out. And I was like, just meet outside. We'll finish this up, you know? And we were able to, I know I was. Scar, I think he was having a rough time getting through his line.
I think they had to move
his line.
They
moved him
outside,
to somewhere else.
You know, what's funny is towards the end of all that signing before we got kicked out, it was so funny. Like I had gone through a lot of people and there were still some people coming up and one person even asked to do a quick vlog with me, which was a lot of fun. But they wanted to do a group picture and that's a lot of people to get into a picture. And I don't like being in pictures. I'll do it when I mean, hold on. I am fine taking pictures with people. I don't like being in group photos. Right. I don't know. It's just a thing, whatever. I don't need to be a part of it. And so I'm like, I kind of hid back in the corner as the whole thing's happening. And then somebody over the speaker's all, we're missing a tango. Can we get a tango? I'm all, that's what you get for being famous. We're missing a skiz. Damn it. You know what I mean?
That's what you get for being famous. So I
like, so I went over and just stood in the back and I'm sure the picture was just fine. But yeah, we had to bring Scar's line out of that room and just out into the hallway where he was able to keep going. But he was also just, I mean, did you ever watch him with his fans? He's lovely.
He's amazing. He takes time to like talk to them, you know, actually like ask questions and get to know them and stuff. And, you know, that was one thing that impressed me about B-Dubs when I first met him at a mind crack party in like 2013 was that seeing his line was there for a very long time and he didn't care. He wasn't going anywhere. They could shut the place down and he would have stayed in the parking lot until 3 a.m. if he had to, just to make sure that he took the time to really give his all to the people that were there to see him. And Scar does the same thing. And I tried to kind of emulate that behavior best I could, but I don't know. I mean, Scar's just like, he's just so good and so genuine and amazing at it that I don't know if I could top that. You know what I mean? I don't know if I could hold a candle to it.
I watch you too, and I think you're great. I think you're great. Yeah,
I get that kind of anxiety that knowing that there's people waiting. Like I'm always one of those people that I don't like to keep people waiting.
Yeah, I hear you.
And so then you kind of balance that. Yep. Like, how much time do I give a specific person when I know there's more people waiting behind them? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm the guy in the grocery store that my head's on a swivel to make sure that I'm not blocking the aisle. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the same kind of mentality there.
No, I'm 100%. I'm with you, and to the point to where I had to keeping myself in check.
Yeah.
People would come up and they'd be talking, and then they would kind of go into like something about something we've done or that's affected them. In my mind can see this long line behind them of people that have already been waiting there a long time, and I'd be like, no, you know what? They can wait. And because when they come up, I'm going to give them the same attention I'm giving this person.
It'll be worth it.
It'll be worth it. And by the way, everybody, no matter how long they waited, was perfectly pleasant and happy to meet me. So I would give them that time. It was just a wonderful thing. And what I also found humbling and admirable was how often some people would come up and they would want a picture. And they would always ask my permission to get a picture and ask for my autograph. Of course. I mean, it's just always of course. And I would always put my arm around them. I always make sure, like before we went to the meetup, I was like, I'm going to make sure that I brushed, that I'm chewing gum, that I put on deodorant, that I put on cologne. I just want to be very presentable, you know, because I'm going to be touching a lot of people in this. And I got to be smart about that. It was incredible to me how many people I put my arm around and they were shaking like a leaf because they were so nervous to meet me, which is a neat thing. It's odd to me, but it's neat. But it also got me thinking, good for you. Meaning like this was very hard for you to do and you did it. You went right up and you looked me in the eye and you went right up to me and you a big part of you wanted to just kind of run away, but you didn't.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of cool, you know?
Yeah. I've seen some people saying now that it's over that their only regret was that they weren't able to muster up the courage to come up to us and say hi and get autographs and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I guess if you're one of those people that had that happen at the event, just we're normal people. You know what I mean? That's all I can say is like
I'm gonna one up you on that. I'm a moron. like just come right up to me. Just come right up to any of us. And here's the other thing, and I can make this promise. I'm never gonna snap at a fan. I'm never going to not make them feel welcome. I know that there's people out there that do that. That's fine. They have the freedom to be jerks. I mean, we're talking about uber famous people or whatever that are probably over it or whatever, but I'm not that guy. I'm not going to be that guy.
Hopefully you get another chance. If you weren't able to come up and meet us while you're there, if you were there, we'll be going to more stuff like this for sure. Like, you know, with pandemic and everything, there wasn't conventions for a while. And so there hasn't been a MineCon in forever. If they do ever do another MineCon, I'm definitely 100% there. But I'm more than willing to do more stuff like more TwitchCons and maybe PAXs and, you know, PAX West or whatever. And VidCons or whatever. It's anywhere I get a chance to hang out with Evan and Caitlin.
Oh my God.
If they're going, I'm probably going to try to go.
Yeah.
Because they were fantastic. So, we did the meetup. It was great. We had a limited time, but also we had a bus to catch at 5 o'clock anyway. So, our bus, we walked out of the convention. The bus is literally just right across the street. We walked across the street. We jaywalked right in front of cops. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And, and we got on the bus and we headed to the steakhouse and we got to sit down. We shared like a little private room with, I think, a wedding party.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit loud in there.
They were the loud ones, dude.
We were having a good time. Yeah. It was fine. Like, you know, but we got a chance to enjoy some really good food and
really good food.
Yeah. It was amazing.
You're not supposed to eat things that aren't meat. like while you're at that restaurant. But the salad was amazing. Yeah. The French fries.
It's like one of the unwritten rules. Like they have a salad bar, but you don't want to actually fill up on that. You want to fill up on the tri-tip and all the crazy meats that they have.
It was so good.
It was funny because like Jem got a piece of chicken and I looked at her kind of funny and she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "You'll see." And so she eats the chicken. I was like, "How was the chicken?" She said, "It was good. It's chicken." You know, I was like, exactly. That's why you don't get the chicken. Because chicken's chicken. You got to get the good
stuff.
Good.
I didn't consider that. That's a good point. Well, the French fries were amazing.
Yeah.
The best fries I've ever had.
Yeah, it was really good food. I guess we're getting hungry as we talk about it. But yeah, it was great. And, you know, Paulo from Glimpse, he paid for the whole thing. Like, amazing. Thank you, Paulo. And
yeah, seriously.
And then we got back on the bus and we went to Topgolf. And I learned that Jem has never played golf before.
Yeah.
and so she got a new experience. Like this whole trip, you know, for her being from Newfoundland and then going to a big city, Vegas, I think she had a lot of like firsts. Like I remember like her first day there when the sun came up, she like DM'd me or she said something in our group chat. There's mountains.
Yeah. No.
And I was like, you don't have mountains? What?
I know. That's what I thought. I would have thought, I don't know why, I would have thought that Newfoundland had
mountains.
Huge mountains. Right. Like, why did I think that?
No, just hilly, I guess. Yeah. But she was impressed with the mountains, the palm trees. So it was really cool, like, being a kind of a native because, like, where we're from, like, the Phoenix area is pretty close to the Vegas, like, climate, right? So all this stuff is normal, palm trees, mountains, everything. So it was pretty fun to watch Jem get the experience on that and everything. But then there was Topgolf, and she's like, I don't know how to golf. And I was like, well, have you ever swung a bat? And she's like, yeah, I think so. And I was like, well, it's like that. Just swing it down. You know what I mean? Swing it downwards. And she was like, And so I was like, showed her. She took a like vlog of all this happening. Yeah. And I didn't really know, but I'm over there like trying to teach her how to golf. And I'm not a great golfer by any means. Little did I know that we should have actually had Cub show her how to golf.
Yeah.
Because
here we go
Tango
again.
Did his swing pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good swing.
Tango was great. I did my swing. I was pretty full from the meat.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to get my full like kind of swing through. It was pretty awkward.
I did my typical crush it, but it's going to be a slice every time. Yeah.
And so we were feeling all right. You know, we weren't making fools of ourselves or anything. And Jem was impressed. And Cub walks up and hits the ball. Dead straight down the center of the course, hits the back wall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah, he's good at everything.
Are you kidding me right now?
And he's so, like, you know, he's so humble. It's a little annoying.
Yeah.
I kind of want to be like, you actually need to start strutting a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, he looks at it, he's like, well, I kind of played a little bit of, like, not professional golf, but he played professional golf.
He was a golfer in high school and stuff.
Yeah, like he was, like, legit. Classically trained
he's
and stuff.
He's legit. And I'm like, God, I hope he wasn't watching me, like, show Jem the wrong way to golf. You know what I mean?
Like, this guy's a moron.
Yeah. Oh, that was super cool. I mean, it's pretty warm in Vegas still this time of year. So, like, I was getting sweaty and stuff.
I know.
We didn't really want to golf too much. I think it was just like one round of golf, even though we had the place rented out for a couple hours. But we were able to have a few drinks and just kind of like do a lot of chatting. And, you know, I got to know, you know, Oz and Real and Opal a little bit better too, which was cool because they were able to come too.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. And that's when Tango and Evan were inseparable on the couch.
It was so much
Top
fun.
Golf.
They were talking about what were they nerding out about?
I don't know. I don't D&D maybe?
Probably,
I don't know.
Yeah. Caitlin, she did a little bit of golfing.
Caitlin's
too.
Hilarious.
She is so
funny. Caitlin, like literally was every time I looked over to the lane to our right, because we had two lanes and I was hanging out on the left lane. Every time I look over to the lane on the right, Caitlin's golfing.
Yeah.
She was literally just crushing the ball over and over again and just a smile on I caught it like nobody was really paying attention to that right lane because we're all hanging out in the left lane, but Caitlin's over there swinging away and like nobody's really watching, but I like people watching as well, so I'm kind of like looking out of the corner of my eye watching her, and she crushes one and she starts doing a little celebration dance, and no one's watching her except for me, which she didn't even know I was watching her. It was just so funny to see.
Well, and I felt bad for Evan because since he hurt his back he couldn't golf.
Yeah,
and so they actually had an idea. Evan and I were sitting together.
Don't spoil it.
I
Don't spoil it.
Okay, I won't. I won't.
Evan came up with an idea due to the situation.
I think I'm pretty sure I would have caught myself before I spoiled anything, but just even talking about it's too much. So you're right.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to see that like Evan's always the wheels are turning for like what they could invent as YouTube DIYers. And he found himself in a situation at Topgolf where he was able to kind of invent something in his mind that would have made his situation better. And now they're going to work on something potentially. Yeah. Potentially. He showed us his list of ideas.
Dude, what did we learn?
Their ideas, so Evan and Caitlin?
Let's talk about this. Like, we've been doing this podcast for, this is episode 65 today.
Yes.
Episode 65 today. And, we have a list. We have a shared document. Maybe we talk about this. This is the type of context it would have. And we've done all of that. And it's been great. His list is not only overwhelmingly long, where their list is not only overwhelmingly long, but the way it's weighted and categorized and itemized, I'm just like, whoa.
He's the most organized YouTuber I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's made making a list into a science.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, what are you using? Yep. I got to use. So he told us what it is, and we're gonna lean in.
Yeah, I want to use it too. I thought that was super cool, but... Yeah, that was a great night. Like, we got a chance to just hang out with them, and then Scar was still recovering, so he wasn't able to unfortunately make it to dinner or Topgolf. But we made it back to the hotel about 10 o'clock, which was early enough that Scar actually came down and met us in the lobby. And he had heard so much about Tango and Tango's crap skills that he wanted to see Tango gamble. He wanted to see how gambling was going to go. Unfortunately, as we kind of made our way around the floor, we realized that the craps tables were really tall that Scar in a wheelchair wouldn't be able to actually see it.
Yeah. And we were about to go on there. I'm like, guys, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Well, let's go do something else. And so we found a little bit more manageable tables.
Blackjack table
one that was perfectly low was minimum $50 a bet. And I'm like, what is it with this place? So
yeah, they want your money.
Well, fine, but it's like, don't you also want us to have fun? Like this is overwhelmingly expensive. But and $50 is not overwhelmingly expensive. Minimum bet of 50 is like that's a lot. I mean, you really can't have fun unless you sit down with about a grand. You know what I mean? So we found a blackjack table, and I'm not a blackjack guy, so you guys were playing, and he was just hanging out and watching. I think his brother was playing for a little bit.
Yeah, his brother's playing.
Yeah.
Doing well, they were playing.
Yeah, and I started to, and I do this. This is just my thing. I did it at Topgolf, too, where I just have a tendency to separate every once in a while, and at Topgolf, I did it because it was so hot out. I just went inside and just sat in the AC for a while, but it was kind of nice to separate. Well, here as well, everybody's kind of crowded around the table, and just sort of, I don't know, I needed to leave. And so I just left and I was like, I'm just going to go look at the poker tables. And as much as I always talk about poker and I love poker, I never play at the casinos ever. Be honest here. It's a little intimidating. And so I was like, I'm just going to go check it out. So I went over to the poker area and I was like, what are your guys' blinds at? And they're like, it's 1-2 and $1, $2. But I know how poker works. $1, $2 can get to a $200 pot in seconds. I mean, just like this, that's how it works. But I'm like, okay, so I got, do I need to put my name on a list or something? And she's like, I have tables open. I got spots open right now. And I'm like, okay. And my brain's like, just do it. And I was like, okay. So I gave her $400. I got $400 in chips. And then I went and sat at a table to play some poker. And, it was a lot of fun, but I'm gonna be honest, like it wasn't the vibe. Like I was trying to spark up some conversations with people or at least joke with people. And it was just like, they were all zombies. Hmm. And I'm like, this sucks. You know what I mean? Like this sucks. And at one point, one guy started to give me like a little bit of attitude about something at a play I made. And dude, it was funny because I made a play where I ended up winning a good sized pot, but I knew what I was doing. And he kind of tried to be like, I didn't play it right. And so I played back everybody's bet and the whole order with him, retold the whole story and exactly what my odds were and why I made my decisions, like everything. And he's all okay. Like he realized, I don't think I'm going to challenge that guy.
That wasn't luck.
Yeah, it wasn't luck.
It was calculated.
It was absolutely calculated. The guy who went all in on me that I called on with my 9 high, I know I called him with a 9 high. I know that, but I also knew what his chip stack was. I wasn't in any danger. We were already in for over half of his chip stack. I knew it. He was short stacked. And I'm going to put in a little bit more money with the chance, and I've got sixes I can hit, I got nines I can hit, I got spades I can hit, there's a straight I can hit, all of these things, and I happen to hit the straight. And also, by the way, I was like, by the way, since the way he bet pre-flop, I knew he didn't have a pair. I was like, so I have two life cards. And that's when he was just like, okay. Like, he realized, you know what I mean? So,
so but if you didn't know this about Skiz, he kind of likes Texas Hold'em, obviously. I like it a lot.
Oh. So anyways, that wraps up. And then you sent me a text. I think you or Tango did, like, hey, we left the blackjack table, we're playing craps now.
Yeah, probably for another craps table that was open that didn't have crazy high minimums.
Yes.
And it's like, still 25.
It's still 25, but it wasn't $50, right. You know, minimum. You're like, we're going to play for another hour. And I'm like, I'm racking up. I'm going to go join you guys. Yeah. So I came and joined you guys. I ended up, I didn't do great at the poker table. I won several hands, but I took one really, I wouldn't even call it a bad beat. It was bad timing. Like, I picked the wrong time. I lost like $90. Not a big deal. I went to the craps table. I made it back in like 6 seconds. It was like, I love poker, but like, this is ruining poker for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, craps is ruining poker. I made it back in like 6 seconds. You know, it was like the craziest thing. Remember that? And that girl went on that crazy.
Yeah, well, while you were playing poker, you missed one of the most fantastic things ever. So Cub joined us at the craps table.
Another thing he's good at.
And so it was like at the craps table, each person, they go around the table and you get a chance to throw the die. And if you crap out, it goes on to the next person. Well, it gets to Cubs. Cubs turn to throw the die, and he throws it, and he hits a number, and we put money on it, and at that point, you just hope that he doesn't roll seven, because now you got money on the table. And Cubs rolling, and he's hitting other numbers left and right, 5, 9, 8, 6. He's hitting everything. Tango and I, you know, we're following Tango's strategy, and we're betting on things as it goes. So we're building up a bunch of money on the table. And Cub keeps every roll. It seems like every single roll, Tango and I are like, thanks for the $100. Thanks for the $100. Thanks for the $100. And Cub's going. And I don't know how long.
He's not winning anything.
Dude, Cub only bet on the button. He only bet on his first one. But after a while, he kind of saw that, like, Tango and I were raking it in.
Yeah.
And he would bet a little bit and get a little bit, but not nearly as much as Tango and I were getting because of the way we bet. And Cub's just going. Like, go, and I swear, I didn't keep track of time, but it felt like 30 minutes of Cub rolling.
Yeah.
And Tango and I, we made at least a $500, at least.
Just on his roll.
On Cub's rolls alone.
Yeah.
And then he finally craps out, and it's bound to happen. Like, seven is the most easy number to hit when you're rolling the die, which is why it's part of the game.
It's one in C of a one in six chance. So if you roll more than six times and you don't hit a seven, you've already beat the odds.
Yeah. He probably rolled like 20 times. It was insane. So Cub finally craps out. And you know, everybody, you're always got that like, oh. But at the same time, the whole table is like, oh. And then immediately erupts like, that was an amazing roll. We all got rich off of you. Thank you.
Yes.
And so Cub, another thing, he was amazing. Which obviously.
You can't be good at
it's
that.
It's not skill.
You
right?
can't be. Hold it's, on.
Yeah.
We had this talk. Okay. You can't be good at rolling dice.
Right.
You can't do it. You know why? Because it's dice. You cannot be good. And not to mention that, but. When you play craps, you have to make contact with the back wall.
Which is spikes.
Spikes. It's foam rubber spikes.
Yeah.
Or foam or rubber spikes.
Yeah.
You cannot be good.
Yeah.
I've said my piece. But what is going on? It makes no sense to me.
Ridiculous.
How some people can just... I just don't... That girl. But all your story happened before I got there. I come there, this girl, she would take both die, put them fives up, and she would throw it up in the air so it would come down, hit the felt, and then bounce up into the rubber spikes, right? That girl made me, all of us, hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. Because, did you remember she rolled a nine three times in a row?
That's ridiculous.
That's win. Like, what is 36 times six? Whatever that is, that's your odds of rolling nine three times in a row. I was just like, what is happening? She made it so much, and then it comes to me, I'm like, yay, crap out, sorry. Well, you know what I mean? I'm like, it's like every time. And so it's all fake. I get it. It doesn't work, but there's something to be said. It's weird.
I'm not like a big gambler, but like it's more of a situational thing with craps. You know, you're at this table and you have this like table camaraderie, you know?
Yes,
And that's what I like about it. Like, you know, winning money, losing money, whatever, you know, in the end, Vegas is going to win.
Yeah.
Like that. Otherwise it wouldn't exist. So that's why I'm not like super into gambling, because I know that if I did it more, I would eventually be a loser like everybody else. You know what I mean? But it's nice to go and every once in a while dabble and then have those great moments like we had.
That's why the poker thing bummed me out, because the camaraderie that exists at a craps table, it didn't exist there. It was pissing me off. I was like, when I play poker with my brothers and stuff, we're razzing each other, we're telling jokes, we're having fun, we're telling stories, catching up. It was like these guys are just like, one guy literally sat down, the second he sat down, and he just buried his face in his fist. And I was just like, dude, just go to bed. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? Just go to bed. But and then the gambling's over. We're done. We go to the cashier. And you made out well, really well. Yeah. Tango made out well. I literally broke completely even, which is, I'm going to call that a W. It's Vegas. I broke even. I may have been a little bit up. I may have been a little bit down. I don't know. But I really think I, for the most part, I was even Steven. I'm fine with that. Dude, Cub had $70 left. That's all he had left. Like that roll, you're not kidding. That roll he went on, he should have cleaned up. He didn't bet on himself.
Yeah.
He had $70. And so he's at the cashier. He's about to turn in and he goes, I have $70. And I was like, oh, you know, I mean, it's $70. And he goes to cash you out quick. He's like, I'm thinking about putting on roulette. And I was all, are you serious? And I said, that's one way to go. I've done that before. You go to leave roulette and you put down 100 on red or black and out you go.
Which is almost 50-50. There's like two slots on a roulette wheel that are green. There's like zero and double zero.
Exactly. It's almost 50. So exactly
because
right.
of that, it's not 50-50 to go red or black when the rest of the numbers are split evenly.
Right. Exactly. Right. So, and he's like, I'm thinking about, you know, and it's like, what are the odds of that? Speaking of odds, just to backtrack a second, you and I at one point earlier in the trip were sitting at two separate side-by-side slot machines, just playing.
We weren't playing.
We
wanted to sit down and talk to each other.
Yes.
And we put $10 in the slot machine.
Well, you put 20, I put 100.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And so we're just sitting there talking to each other, pressing the button, not even paying attention to the machine.
Wait, it was a 25-cent machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like bump, just talking.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, mine starts to shake. I'm all, what is this now? Remember, it's a 25-cent machine. And I didn't hit the jackpot, but I hit a jackpot. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, and it's like, I'm like, what's happening? And I look up. I'm trying to look at what I have and read the key. I'm all, whoa, and you're all, dude, this is you, dude. Keep in mind, you're right next to me. And you're pushing your button as well.
Yeah.
You're all, whoa, dude, nice. Hey, and yours did the same thing. I look over and
mine did the same thing.
Yeah. What is that? Yeah. Two side-by-side machines are going to hit. That was crazy. It was such a great moment, dude. And Tango and Joke were just like, what is going on right now? Like, I won like 50. I think you won like 80 or something. Yeah.
$86. I got a screenshot.
Yeah. So anyways, okay. I just had to tell that story because it was neat. So Cub, Rub-A-Dub Cub has his $70, right? And he's like, I'm thinking about putting on roulette. And I'm like, yeah, do red or black. It's almost like almost a 50-50, like you said.
Yeah, you can double it and get out of here.
Yeah, yeah. And he's all, think about putting it on one of the streets, which is now a 1 in 3 chance. I'm all, oh, okay, it's going to cut your odds down, but a little bit better of a payout if you happen to hit it. He goes, actually, and he puts all 70 on the number 4.
No. And
yeah, he did.
Oh.
Number 4. I'm all, what are you doing? Like that's, I mean, I know it's $70, not the end of the world, but that's $70 you're just throwing away at this point, you know? All on, like literally the only way he's going to win is if that ball lands on just the number 4. He goes, actually, and he goes and he puts it on single 0. And I'm like, are you really going to do this? And they haven't spun the ball yet. He's like, yeah. He's like, go big or go home or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Cub, I'm learning a lot about you, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm excited. And I'm all, Tango, like him, he needs our support. And were you there to watch it or did you have to hear the story?
I came up. Oh, I came up as the ball was rolling.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he's like, Tango comes over and he's like, what are we doing? And then, yeah, that's right. You had come over. I'm like, look, that's his stack on single 0. And they're like, oh, you guys are like, what? And now the ball's rolling. Yeah. I'm like, come on. And I was like, I've literally never wanted something more for somebody than what I want for Cub right now. And I can see as that zero is coming around, the ball's, you know, ding, ding, ding. You can kind of tell if you have a chance or not the second the ball comes off. And I'm like, oh, this is in the realm of possibility. Now it's going to land within like 10 numbers left or right of this thing. And it comes over, ding, ding. I'm like, it's going to land within 5 numbers left or right. It's going to land within 3 numbers left and right. And it hits the brim of 0, pops out and lands and stops in the space right the next
brim.
To it. Oh,
dude. A little bit more, it would have hit the brim and go forward into the 0. And he would have won like $2,400.
Like $2,500 if it landed.
Which was insane.
Oh, it was like, dude, that was like
1 odds or something.
And all 4 of us are all,
That was my one last scream of the night that I was like, I shouldn't have done that because I have 0 voice already.
Yeah. And I'm real. Like, we have to do it. We have to hear about your stream. I can't believe we just popped over
that
part.
Yeah, this is still just Sunday night.
This is just Sunday night, yeah.
So I was trying to set us a little bit of a bedtime that night, even though we're having a good time, because I had to get up.
Oh, this is that night. You're right. Thank you. For a second, I thought we moved past it. You're right. We're not there yet. Go.
Yeah, at the craps table, I'd said, like, hey, this is our cutoff time. You know, it was like 1 a.m. I was like, if we leave at 1 a.m., and that's enough sleep for me, because I had to stream. I had to be at the Sony booth at 10 a.m. the next day to stream from the Sony booth. It was part of a sponsored thing, and I was going to play some Phasmo. I had 1 hour, and they had some giveaways, and I had 3 challenges that I had to do in Phasmo, and if I successfully completed the challenges, then people could win some stuff. They were giving out stuff live in person, and they were giving out stuff to the people in my chat through a giveaway. And so anyway, so we go to bed and I wake up and I knew my voice was rough, but I did everything I could, you know, like I was buying the lozenges from the little convenience store downstairs. I got 2 mega bottles of water. I was just really trying to get my voice back. And I woke up in the morning and it was not back. It was not back. It was bad. And I was like, great. I was like, I somehow have to get through this stream with no voice. Like that's going to be rough. You know, so I was just like, all right, maybe if I just suck on the lozenges the entire time, I'll have enough of a voice. But I was able to get up and we actually had enough time to like get breakfast together, which I was happy for.
Yeah.
And so we got a legit buffet.
So good, dude.
Buffet breakfast.
I love buffets.
Yeah. And then we went and we grabbed Jem from her place and we went to the convention and I made it to the booth. I mean, it was a little bit after 10, but it was good enough. And I was telling them, I was like, this is going to be a rough stream. I got like no voice. And so they're like, yeah, you'll get through it. It'll be fine. And so I get there and it was way more casual than like the MCC setup, you know, where you sit at a computer and I still had to put in my stream key and stuff, but now I'd learned like the L was an I or whatever. Yeah. And so I was able to get through that. And like the setup was way more simple. And so we sat down and sure enough, my slot was from 11 to 12 and started right on time. And fired the stream up and there's people standing behind me, like a crowd, literally a crowd behind me.
It was awesome.
Looking through like, I don't know, like a gate.
It was like, there was like a
barrier.
It was a barrier, but there was an opening about this big that you could see.
So you just see like faces, you know, all behind me. And then because there's a webcam on me, like you can see them over my shoulder. And I streamed this on Twitch. So, and also put the VOD on my second channel on YouTube as well, if you guys want to actually see it. But I start off I have 2 microphones. One is from the Sony headset that I was there to promote, and that was going to my stream. And then there was this other, like, Britney Spears little microphone. Yeah, yeah. And that's what was being broadcast to the actual, like, convention, like the booth. Like, people walking by the Sony booth could hear what was left of my voice.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
and then I'm, like, on TVs throughout the booth and stuff, and that was just surreal, man. Like, I fired up the Phasmo stream and I had a guy to my left that was controlling all the on-screen stuff. Like, we had the giveaway wheel spin and choose my challenges for me. And my first one was like perfect game on hard or professional.
Professional.
Yeah, I had to do a perfect game on professional. When I'd given that challenge, I forgot that getting a perfect game takes a long time.
It can take a while.
It can take a long time.
That was one thing I thought of, because you had an hour total.
I had an hour, just an hour. And so like I'm doing the perfect game. I'm trying to get the perfect game. First one I failed, actually. I think I took a bad photo.
Yeah, that's what'll get you every time.
Sucks, yeah. Yep. So I took a bad photo and was like, I'm bailing out immediately. We got to start over, obviously. We're not going to get the challenge. And then it took me like, I was at least halfway through the 1 hour stream before I got the perfect game. And then they did the giveaway and people got to win stuff in person. But during it, I did the callback to the where are you. So as we stream with gigs, you go down with the spirit box and you try to ask where the ghost is. It's one of the questions you ask for a ghost, and if they respond in the spirit box, that's a piece of evidence. And so I go downstairs and I go, where are you? And next thing I know, the crowd's going, and I'm so sorry, because it's the Blink-182 song. And I was like, ooh, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Little call and answer there. So then the next time I went to go do it, I was like, everybody ready? Where are you? And I did with what voice I had left. And then they erupted with the, and I'm so sorry. You can actually hear it in the VOD. which was super cool. I mean, I like got chills
you
when
tried
that happened.
To, you tried to muster up a dang it at one point. You're like, dang it.
Yeah, yeah, I died, and I because usually when I die when I'm playing Phasm, I have that button. It's you with your story time with Skiz clip where you were the girl, I guess. And you'll have to see Skizzleman's channel. He's got the funniest story ever, or whatever, the funniest moment ever,
funniest moment of my life.
Yeah, Skizzleman, story time with Skizzleman. Anyway, it's from that. And so I usually hit the button on my Stream Deck when I'm at home, but I didn't have that, of course. So I tried to reenact it in real life, except I had no voice. I was like, it was so bad.
It was funny.
But you know, I got a laugh, and I was just, I was playing up to the crowd. I felt the energy of like being there in person and playing in front of people. And you know, and I tried to look at the situation like, this is Phasmo. A lot of people that are just like walking into the booth, they don't know what this is.
Yeah.
So I tried to also put on my like teacher hat.
Yeah.
And I was trying to like really explain, okay, so if we get this, this is a piece of evidence which could lead to this ghost. And so I was trying to mix a little bit of the entertainment in with at least explaining what I was doing for the casual onlookers, you know? Experience was super cool. Again, I wish I had a voice. Like, I think that stream would have been 10 times more fun for me if my voice was normal.
Yeah, you had to sort of power through it. And I thought you did a really good job. And you were wearing like two mics. Like, you had the normal one for the
Britney
game.
Spears one.
And then you had the Britney, because it was funny. And Jem, too, she's like, look, he's got like a little Britney Spears mic. And I'm all, it's impulse, bitch. And she just starts cracking up. But you you got it. You locked it in and you pushed through. You were obviously tired. Your voice was obviously gone. We were at the tail end of the trip. Like we were, our bags were in your car.
Yeah. We'd already checked out of the hotel.
Yeah.
Yep.
We were done.
Yeah. We were done. It was like literally last thing. And we got through it, and Sony seemed super happy with it. They said I did great, even with no voice. And so that's, I always like to, you know, if you get a sponsorship opportunity like that, I like to make sure I do best I can for them. And, you know, was able to show off their products, and that's what it was there for.
They did great. They did great.
Yeah. And so it got over, and they gave me a nice box of swag, which I love, free stuff,
as we all know. That's sort of your thing.
So, dude, Tango is so cool, too, because we got some swag from MCC, a big bag of you know, blanket and some other stuff. Our jerseys and everything was in this big bag. And, like, when it was over, Tango could see. I'm like walking out with my arms full of like these signs. I have the big signs that were on our nameplates, and then the bag. And Tango's like, he was always offering to carry this stuff for me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that's super nice of you, dude.
No, he's good. He's a great dude.
So yeah, he helped me carry stuff back to the car and stuff. And then that was it. Like it was so sad. Yeah.
It
like, cause that was the point that we knew it was over. As soon as the stream was over, we like went up and got our partner swag, which was like some keycaps, which is cool. And then it was time. Like Jem wasn't leaving that day, and so she was gonna stick around for a little bit. And so by that point, Scar was gone. Joker was gone.
See, that's the thing where I blew it there. I messed up my times. Scar or Joker wasn't gone. I thought they were both gone, just like you just said. Mm-hmm. Joker wasn't gone yet. And so I didn't have a proper exit with him because my exit with him was me disappearing to go play poker.
Disappearing to play poker. Yeah. That was your goodbye.
Yeah, so that sucked.
It happens.
But Cub, when did Cub go home?
Cub also, I think, left that morning, so we didn't see him.
So it's just basically
because we said goodbye to him after he barely missed his roulette spin.
Yeah. So Jem, exactly. So Jem, Tango, and I were walking while you were doing your stream. We watched for a little bit, and then we went and roamed for a little bit, and we went and just walked the convention and checked out some new cool things. And there was what looked to be a working keyboard that was the size of a bus. Like, I don't know if you saw it. The mouse was the size.
I saw it in Jem's vlog. Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool stuff. And I took a picture of that and I sent it to Evan and Caitlin. I'm like, you need to build one bigger. But we just kind of walked around the convention, and there was still like a degree of we'd be talking and people come up to get like autographs and stuff, which was always like super cool. And one girl came up to me, this sweet girl, because, you know, I always tell the joke about how my mom calls me Skittles Man. Mm-hmm. She brought a bag of Skittles. Can you sign my bag of Skittles? So I signed her bag of Skittles. And I think I could be wrong here. So if you're listening, please forgive me if I'm wrong. I think it was the same girl who also, the day of MCC, brought a Kevin Bubbles Malone refrigerator Jimmy Madi Dugan mug that she had bought and asked me to sign that, which was really, really cool. So, and what's funny is Tango and I were just talking about how much we missed our dogs. And then she brought that, and I'm all, and Tango's all, here he goes. and then somebody else had brought, somebody from South Korea had brought like South Korean snacks and stuff. And I'm so mad at myself. I was going to literally snack on them during this podcast. I blew it. But that was it. We said our goodbyes after your stream, and it was the realization that this was happening.
Sad.
Very sad. And the same thing that happened with Smajor. Like, I hope I'm very wrong about this, but there's a chance we're never going to see Jem again. There's that chance. She's going to go back to Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Right? There's a chance we're never going to see Scar again. Now, we are planning something. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. We are planning something, and I am very hopeful that that comes to fruition.
Yeah, it was that experience that got us to realize. So we were all very busy during it. We had obligations, MCC, yes, and the dinners and the... And, you know, Sony Streams.
Very good busy.
Very good busy. And meeting up with people, meet and greets and stuff. But we found that we didn't actually get a ton, even though we had fun at Topgolf and stuff, we didn't have a ton of just like real downtime to just like sit, maybe play some card games together, just like really get to know each other. And that's one thing that we want to remedy. You know, we're talking about like maybe we have a get together where it's not business related. It's not a convention. It's just us getting together to get to know each other. Almost call it team building. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
like a team building experience.
What we learned is that we all genuinely enjoy each other.
Yeah.
It's not a business transaction anymore. It started out that way. Call it what it is. It started out that when we didn't know you, when we didn't have this connection with you, and then we were put into a spot to where now we're going to work together, it's a business transaction. It's irrelevant that we got along right away. We don't know anything about each other.
Mm-hmm.
We just had plenty of time to where if there was something we didn't like about each other, we would have found it, but we didn't. Yeah. Everybody, I really like the time with Cub, even though it was limited, was amazing. Yeah. I have one regret of this whole thing. It's that I just didn't spend as much time with Scar as I would have liked. And that's something that I'm not going to ever make that mistake again. That was a missed opportunity. I did get to spend a good amount of time with them, but just not as much as I would have liked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The whole experience is very draining for Scar. And I think a lot of that was he just needed to.
And you want
to
be sensitive to that. Yeah, and you don't want to overstep that. You know what I mean? And so it was at one point I was like going to recommend it would have been massively overstepping. But this is the thing about Skiz, and you know this. I overstep all the time. I don't know why I have such a profound arrogance about me to where I'm just like, well, I mean, this is overstepping, but it's okay because it's me doing it. I don't know why I'm like that, but I just am. I was going to recommend we all go to his room, not just go and bang on the door, but like engage him. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. Maybe I feel like I could have made him comfortable to say no if he wanted to say no.
Mm-hmm.
But if he didn't want to, then we would just hang out and just, you know what I mean? And you know what we would have been able to do? Hear each other. Yeah. You know what I mean? It would have been like the one place.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, there's no quiet place, but there is in your actual rooms.
Yes, exactly. So. Or he could have come to one of our rooms. Who cares? Whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah, my room was only three floors up and nobody around, so that would have worked.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly. So that would have been great. But you know what? That's my one and only regret, but I'm not gonna allow it to consume me. I'm extremely, extremely grateful for the experience.
Yeah.
I wouldn't undo anything. I remember being at work when you, me, and Tango were talking on Discord, and you're like, let's get tickets right now. They just went on sale. I'm at work doing it on my phone. And I was just like, you know, when we did it, the convention was so far in the future that it was just sort of like almost like a figment of my imagination that it was ever going to happen. And now it's already a memory. I mean, that's crazy. It happens so quick.
Yeah, it comes and goes so fast. That's why it's important to like live in the moment, you know, and just really take it in. And I'm glad that we got a chance to like kind of like go back through it all, because as we, you know, obviously we just went the longest podcast we've ever done.
Well, it's not. I'm making an executive decision. Oh, I've already made a decision.
No.
We're going to do a proper outro for this one because this is the second installment. Then we're going to record an intermission in between, because believe me, I want you to understand, this has been going through my head as we're making this podcast. I was like, you know, an hour 15, that's fine. Hour 20, that's fine. Hour 30, I looked over, it was an hour 34, and I'm going to split this one. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to split this one because we're going to split it into two parts. It's going to be just fine.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. So people had to wait an extra week to catch everything past Friday. Cause I think the first hour was just Friday.
Friday. Yeah. You want to know what I'm really hoping? I'm sure hoping that wherever I cut, it's going to be in that mid mark. I didn't talk about I have a bone to pick with Smajor and not get to it until the second one.
So he's got to wait a whole week to find out what the heck that was about.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, such a good trip. I mean, after we left, you know, we had the car ride, and again, my voice was just completely shot. So we were, it was two different stories. The way up to Vegas, the car ride, the 5.5 hour, 6 hour car ride. We were chatting the entire time.
Yes.
I was driving and we were chatting the entire time and talking about all the things, everything. We're so excited to be together. So excited to be looking forward to the weekend. And we blink and we went from Phoenix to Vegas. Like it was the fastest trip ever. And it's, and I don't like to drive, but it happened so quick.
Yep.
On the way back, it was the opposite of that.
It took forever.
Like it was the longest drive back because Tango's in the back seat sleeping.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
He needed to.
He had to
work when he got back.
Yeah, he needed to get back and work on Decked Out. So he needed to take a nap and recharge, which is totally fine. Plus, I couldn't talk to Tango in the back seat because I had no voice and it wouldn't carry. It wouldn't carry to the back. It barely carried to you in the passenger seat next to me.
Yeah.
And so you and I didn't do a ton of talking. Instead, you ended up kind of playing DJ there for a while and doing your playlist and stuff, introducing me to some music I've never heard.
I put on a Busta Rhymes song. Do you remember this?
Dude? Yeah, he put on Busta Rhymes.
And Tango's all, is this the parody?
Yeah. He thought Break Your Neck was a parody. Meanwhile, I'm driving, breaking my neck.
Yeah, both of us are. Yeah.
But it was a long drive back. And I was super tired and I was itching to get back and see my family, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But so you have like that mix of emotions, like knowing that like one of the best weekends of your life is now officially over. But you get get back to your normalcy, your regular life and the people you love and your pets and everything. So all that was kind of gone, just a slew of emotions. More so, I was happy to get back and just fix my voice.
Yeah.
Because I was so frustrated about that.
You couldn't even stream on Monday.
Yeah, I had to take two full days off. I actually did like kind of jump into your stream for a little bit, but I didn't do a lot of talking.
You did, that's right.
I didn't do a lot of talking because I wasn't quite there. But like, I don't know if it was just like the smoke in the casinos or what, but as soon as I got back home, like I literally woke up the next day and I was like, it's already getting better. Like,
do you remember how desperate I was for chapstick?
Yeah.
My lips were like rocks, dude. Yeah. They were so dry. The air in Vegas was so bad and the smoke was not helping. Yeah. And I didn't get chapstick until our drive home.
Yeah, you were hating it.
You're driving, Skiz over here making love with his chapstick.
Once it hit your lips.
I needed it.
Oh, man. But yeah, that was fun. And I know you said like, you know, we don't know if we're ever going to see him again. I'm going to push to go to like every convention we can.
I agree. So I have fun. Every intention to. But this is the thing about life. This is almost a podcast in itself. And when you're with people, like, and you're enjoying it, take that moment in. Let that sit with you because you, at some point in your life, you carried on an activity with your friends and nobody knew it was the last time, right?
Right.
Like my street football, that's all we did. And at one point it was the last time we did it. Nobody knew that was the case. So because that's a reality that we have to face, when I gave Jem her hug, when I gave Scott his hug, when I gave Cub his hug, you have to be at peace that this could be it. Yeah. This could be it, man. And I hope it's not. I really hope it's not. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure it's not, but it might be.
Yeah.
You have to be at peace with it, you know?
Yeah. I won't let it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. This could be our last podcast.
Stop it. It won't be.
No, it won't
anyway.
Be.
Oh, wow. It was a good one. Okay. So you got to enjoy this part one, part two.
Yes.
Hopefully you came back.
Can I point out something?
Yeah. Our center cam stayed on the entire time. We turned on our main camera, the one we're looking at right now, with 5% battery. And we were 100% guaranteed it was not going to last the entire podcast, let alone 2 hours.
This thing dies when it has 85% left.
Here you go. Well done, Sony A7 Mark IV. Well done.
Are you sure you hit record on it?
Maybe not. Maybe we're looking at another video.
I'll say bye here in case you need to.
But that was super fun, man. Super fun weekend. Like I said, we got to make sure we hit up the next one or some other convention,
you know,
especially if our friends are there.
Yes. And if there's a pivotal event or memory that I forgot, I'm sorry. I'm sure
we mixed up any names.
I'm sure we did that. Somebody brought me an amazing bracelet. Some people wrote nice letters to me. One person wrote something while they were there. They drew a little picture. There was
I had an awkward moment. I know we're wrapping up, but I had an awkward moment where, you know, a lot of people come up and they were like, hey, I want you to have this, you know, that kind of thing. They give us like you just mentioned a lot of stuff, t-shirts and letters and all sorts of stuff. I had one come up and they had done this amazing drawing of me.
Mm.
And I made an assumption that they wanted me to have it.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, thank you for this. And they're like, I want you to sign it. You know, like they wanted to keep it and have it with a signature. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm such an idiot. Like, I got in that space where so many people were giving me stuff that I just started making assumptions that it was for me. And I felt like such an idiot. And they could, I think they could tell that I felt bad about assuming that they were going to give it to me. So I signed it and I was like, it's very lovely. I took a picture of it. You know, I was like, if you don't want to give it to me, at least I have this picture for the memory, you know? So I took a picture. That was the Friday signing. Then they came Saturday and they had drawn another picture to actually give me.
Oh, wow.
How incredible is that? Like, again, nuts. I just started tearing up. Just like,
oh, the fact that
they,
incredible.
The fact that they saw what happened there, and they saw I felt bad about it, and then they like they went home or went back to their hotel or whatever that night and spent time drawing it to actually give me. And then there was a whole letter associated with it. They wrote a whole bunch of great things. And so, I'm tearing up now. Anyway, that was just insane. So, love it. Love meeting people. If you guys ever hear that we're going to go to a convention, you want to come meet us, please do.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to come up because we love meeting each and every one of you. So anyway, hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Sophie enjoyed us telling, retelling our story. A light started blinking. That's our cue to leave.
Now it knows we're done.
We're getting a flash mob.
Hope you enjoyed my thunder thighs.
Yeah, he wore shorts and I didn't for once. Weird. My track suit is what he likes to call it.
Makes you faster.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Good memories and looking forward to the next convention.
Absolutely.
All right. Good podcast. Thank you, everybody.
See ya.